Please stand as you are able. And you can follow along in the bulletin or from your Bibles. 1 John, the 5th chapter, beginning with the first verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this: Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You know, there's very few people in this world who wouldn't say that the world needs a changing. Because, you know, I've gotten to the point that I don't even want to read the news anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, if you're in a really good mood, the last thing you want to do is read the newspaper or watch the evening news or something like that, because there's always something in there that you just can't believe people would do. You know, there's domestic violence, and there's families that are consuming each other. For those of you who read the Kingsport Times, have you seen how many people are harming their parents and grandparents, you know, for some little sum or something like that? It's amazing to me, appalling, the world that we live in, where you have, you know, shooting people that you don't even know, just, I guess, because you want a headline, your 15 minutes of fame. It's just been amazing to me, the things that I have seen in my 56 years. I don't mind, by the way, you all knowing how old I am. I am 56 years old. I'm proud of it. Didn't think I'd make it this far. Well, you all have seen how clumsy I am. But in 56 years, in the essence, a generation, the world has changed so much. We never locked our doors. When I was a little kid, didn't even think about it. My parents didn't care if we played out in the yard. You know, they didn't have to stand there and watch. It was, in some ways, a better world. Not that bad things didn't happen, but wow, the world has changed so much. I remember when you used to get in trouble in school because you had chewing gum. Now, you know, they have drugs and weapons and pornographic things that would have never even entered our minds. The world needs to change. And I decided to look it up, and I just picked one. I could have picked anything, but I decided to look at the crime rate for Kingsport. Do you realize that the violent crime rate in Kingsport is almost double the U.S. average? That's scary. Now, we're talking per capita. It's not that more things happen. It's just that many things happen per person. For the United States, 214. For Kingsport, 390. And number of property crimes, 435. That's crazy. That's a crazy crime rate. I've got a list there. We should all move to Weber City or Sargoinsville, the two safest places to live around here. I think because they're asleep there. But I was shocked by this when I found it. I was shocked. Because, you know, I always thought, Little Kingsport. But folks, we live in a world that needs changing. So what are we going to do? Well, we could have more legislation. You know, more laws. That seems to be a lot of people's answer to things. Well, we'll just have another law about that. I looked it up just because I was interested in 1927 when the first book of federal law was published. It fit into one volume. And I got on the net and I searched through every source that I could find for the first 100, and no one knows how many federal laws there are. There are so many, they can't count them. There are about 20,000 laws that deal with owning a gun, period. Federal laws, owning and using a gun. And I just picked one. It could have been anything. Yet, 20,000 gun laws don't stop people from going into schools, does it? Doesn't stop anybody from robbing the bank. It doesn't stop all the needless stuff that keeps happening. But the Bible tells us that, you know, the law is good for one thing, and that is pointing out what's wrong. But it has no remedy. So if the law cannot remedy but just point out what's wrong, what do we need? Well, you know, most people are going to tell you what we need is more social services. Now, I'm saying nothing against social services, and God knows we need them. Don't hear something I'm not saying. But we have gone in 10 years $200 billion more than 10 years ago being spent on social services. And a couple of years ago, we fell back to the poverty level that we had in 1960 when we began our war on poverty. You know, that tells me that social services are necessary, but folks, they're not keeping up. $200 billion more in 10 years, and the poverty rate keeps climbing. There are almost 17 million children who live in a house that they don't know they're going to be able to eat their next meal. And so we look around and we go, where's God? Where's God? You know, all this bad stuff is happening everywhere. Where's God? You know, that's the question that people ask Christians all the time, isn't it? You know, you let it be known that you're a Christian, and the people who don't believe will say, well, where's your God when this happens? Where's your God when that happens? And I maintain, folks, that we are asking the wrong question, because the question is not where is God, it's where is God's people. We're God's people. When Jesus left this planet, he sent us the Holy Spirit. He said that we were going to be able to do even greater things than he had done, that he had given us the Holy Spirit to live in us and to work through us, and we have the power to change the world by the name of Jesus Christ. The question, folks, is not is where is God, it's where are we? What are we doing? What are we doing? The church too long has been in its little holy huddle. The world was looking scary, and so we all got together and huddled together, and we love each other. We actually love the world in the way you're supposed to love the world. We care, for the most part. Let's face it, some don't. But folks, this world will never change until people find Jesus Christ. We can only change this world one life at a time, sharing the gospel. Do you realize that if people were celibate in singleness and were monogamous in marriage, that in one generation, AIDS would be wiped out? I don't want to hear that. Do you realize that if Christians were living the life and the example that we're supposed to live and standing up for what is right, then we would still have the Ten Commandments posted in federal buildings? God bless Jonesboro. Don't you just love that? For those of you who don't know, when they said the Ten Commandments had to come out of the courthouse, the Jonesboro courthouse said, and they wouldn't take it down. Which one of them are they against? You know, thou shalt not commit murder. Well, let's not have that posted anywhere. The people of God have been quiet too long. And some of them have been too loud about the wrong thing. But by and large, the people of God who truly love God and truly love their neighbor as the Bible tells us to are not stepping out in faith to make change. When we look around at this world, my friends, we got to take the blame for it. Hate to say that. Not a fun message. Y'all wish I'd have another asthma attack. But it's the truth. Let's just face it. The church has got to be the church, and yes, we need to do all kinds of wonderful social things. We need to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick and in prison. But folks, we've got to tell them about Jesus, because that's the only lasting change there is. He is the power to change lives. He changed mine. He's changed yours. He'll change everyone who'll accept him. Faith changes the world. So why are we being so quiet? Why you reckon? Well, I think mostly we don't want people to think we're one of those people. You know who those people are, don't you? You know, those people, the ones on TV that, you know, kind of embarrass you. Or, you know, Mr. Bullhorn guy that's standing on the street corner going, "Repent." No. I don't really think. You know the guys that stand on the street corner with the bullhorn saying, "Repent"? You got to wonder, have they ever seen somebody fall on their knees and go, "Yes, Lord"? I don't think so. The only way you change lives is not yelling repent at people, but to live before them in lives that reflect Christ and tell them that the reason that you can live that life is because of Christ. You know, we offer the cold cup of water, folks, but if you don't do it in Christ's name, you've lost an opportunity. They'll thirst again. We have such talent in this church. We have so many gifts. We have so many loving and generous hearts. This is on a tape. I probably shouldn't say this out loud. Oh, well, none of my former parishioners ever listened to it anyway. This is the most generous church I have ever served. You know, I tell you people of a need, something happens. You know, I expect it too, you know. If I've taught you correctly, if you see a need, you ought to meet it. But in all our generosity, in all the things that we do, I do not believe that we are standing up for Christ like we ought to stand up. I don't believe we're spreading the gospel like we need to spread the gospel. And there are people out there who are suffering because they don't know they can be free. And you can't pay me to do it for you. It is every Christian's responsibility to tell somebody about Jesus. Now let me ask the question. I do not want a show of hands. How many of you who are Christians 25 years or longer and have yet to lead somebody to Christ? Answer that among yourselves, you know, just to yourself. How many of you have been a Christian for 50 years and have never led anybody to Christ? You know, one of the things that I disliked about being a pastor when the Lord said, now's the time, is I led more people to Jesus as a layperson than I have as a pastor. Because then I was more out among the people. I'm supposed to be training you to do that. And do you know, I'm going to get after you right now on this one. 2 years ago when we had an event and said, if you will come on Wednesday night for 5 weeks, we will train you how to tell people about your faith. Do you know that that was some of the lowest attendance we had on Wednesday night? Just saying. Question is, how important is it to you? Faith will overcome your fear. I know that you're always afraid somebody's going to ask you a question you can't answer. Well, honey, they ask me questions I can't answer all the time. Why did this happen? I have no idea. What does this mean in Revelation? I have no idea. But the one thing I do know is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to set me free, and I accept that freedom. He came, he sacrificed himself for my sins, and he rose from the dead to give me eternal life. That's what I know. And it's not that hard to tell. This is not one of those fun sermons where we laugh a lot. But this is one of those sermons you need to hear. I don't know how short time is. This planet may continue for another 2,000 years. Or the Lord could come tomorrow. All I know is today is all I've got. And I want to use it well. Don't you? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.